How is it that a lot of what we think are purposeful relationships are actually simply connections? And why is it important for us to look at the lens of technology when we consider the relationships that we have cultivated throughout our lives? And why is it important for us to stay grounded and figure out actual conversations among those relationships we are close with instead of using quote-unquote connection as a basis of staying close to people? Hello, and welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where I look through, analyze, and dissect various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've read over the last few years. My name is Jagan, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. So the topic that we want to discuss in this episode, I think, is so important, I want to spread this out over two episodes. The idea of purposeful relationships. And through this discussion, I want to cultivate a little bit of a conversation, not only on what is required for purposeful relationships, but what causes these to disintegrate, and more the role of technology in all of this. From a couple months ago, I recorded an episode on the idea of digital minimalism, and the place where digital minimalism is so important and has such a high impact, in my opinion, is in this realm of purposeful relationships. And how we must leverage technology as a tool to build personal relationships and not use it as a substitute, which is what a lot of us do in society today. And through this conversation, I want to spend part one dissecting a lot of these barriers that technology helps create around purposeful relationships, also delving into concepts like our ego and how it can debilitate purposeful relationships, and use it as a springboard to our second episode, which will be released the week after this week, speaking about how we can work toward cultivating better relationships and leveraging technology for that purpose. And so I'm very passionate about this topic because this has been something that I have been working significantly on over this last year regarding building up purposeful relationships and, by that, decluttering those that aren't as important to me and emphasizing those that are important to me. And so I want to use this episode to discuss not only the barriers that we have, but also how technology plays a role, as I mentioned. And so let's get into it. So purposeful relationships overall demand presence primarily from us. They demand selflessness by, for example, being there for someone when they need your kind of help and presence. However, barriers like technology, many distractions, and ego, and our resentment and judgment and our kind of repressed feelings disrupt our ability to be present and maintain and build upon these purposeful relationships. And so a few things I want to discuss before. A few kind of ground rules I want to establish about relationships. Purposeful relationships require constant maintenance and constant checking up on people. There are friendships that we consider low maintenance, that we keep in touch with once every few months, once every so often, that don't require our constant upkeep and maintenance. While those are as important in terms of our relationships, there are a few relationships, may it be your significant other or very close friends of yours, that require constant maintenance, upkeep, and checking up on, in order to establish, build upon, and grow even closer and grow together as people. Contrary to popular belief, you cannot just have a friendship and just let it out to dry or be an unreliable person. And so for me, one of the major dingers slash one of the major things that I'm a huge advocate against is unreliability, timeliness, and presence in relationships. For me, to be someone that I consider a close friend, you have to be someone who is very, very reliable. Not very, very reliable as in like I need immediate response to my text or I need like this thing to happen in this particular way. It's more like I expect people that I'm close to for me to have trust in them, to know that if I needed something at any point in time, they could be someone I could turn to. That doesn't mean I need like immediate technology-based responses, because that kind of defeats the point of a purposeful relationship, which I'll get into later. But it's that I need to have trust in that person that if I need something, they will be there. The next thing is presence. Some of the friends or people, old friends, friends that are no longer my friends now, some of the problems they had to do with this idea of presence, where they would not be there. They would not be present when you were hanging out in person. They would be on their phone all the time and they would be barely paying attention to whatever I'd be saying. And I noticed that. And my desire to spend time with those people went down significantly because technology drew them away from the present moment, which is all we have to deal with. And that is something I'm not a fan of either. And finally, something that is not as important but still important to me is timeliness. So for me, timeliness signifies not only an illustration of your own organization of your own life and a knowledge of when things or how much time things take and how present you should be, but it's also a respect of the other person. For me, I try my hardest almost always to be present and timely with my time for people that I'm hanging out with or spending time with, because I see that as basic respect given to people and basic kind of understanding that, oh, I am someone, we have decided a place and time, and I will be there at that time because I respect you enough that I will follow my word. And I will follow the kind of social contract we have created. And so these are three things that I expect in any sort of purposeful relationship. And while not everyone has every single quality, that doesn't mean you're automatically removed from the list. But it's also like my trust in you as a person is not as high as someone who would have more of these qualities. And it's not as transactional or it's not as one-dimensional as that. But it's kind of a foundational illustration of some of the qualities I expect. And I think it's relatively fair to expect in purposeful relationships. So now that we've kind of laid what I think are ground rules for purposeful relationships, I want to get into the digital minimalism piece of this entire thing. Digital minimalism, in my eyes, is a very important philosophy because it requires us to use and not substitute, rather, the distractions and the casual connection we get from sending reels to friends or by texting them, but rather prioritize the in-person meetups or the long calls over the phone as something that illustrates true buildings of conversations as opposed to connections. And I'm a huge advocate of moving away from technology-based hangouts, especially nowadays where we're so interconnected, and more toward connections that are based simply on in-person meetups. And so let's go into some of these other barriers that purposeful relationships have and how digital minimalism is a good philosophy against it and how technology really debilitates our ability to actually stay in touch and actually build up a close relationship. So constant device use just from the outset has the ability to fragment our attention. And one kind of philosophy that I have whenever I'm hanging out with someone is that my phone almost always goes into my pocket. Because the way technology algorithms are designed is based on something called intermittent feedback, where you don't know if when you open your phone, you're going to get a notification or not, or if you're going to be given like a concept of dopamine or not. And so by putting away your phone, you quite literally do out of sight, out of mind. And so this constant device use fragments our attention. Imagine if you're hanging out with someone and they get a notification and they look down at it when you're in the middle of a story. How frustrating or annoyed do you think you would get, especially if this is something important to you? Fragmenting your attention reduces your presence in relationships, and it also fuels our own ego's focus on ourselves. Because if you're hanging out with someone, your attention and your presence should be with them. What, like, digital minimalism's counter does is that it focuses our kind of priority on ourselves and pulls us from the mutual care that in-person relationships can really build. Because the ego prioritizes itself over the others and needs to know who dared or who wished to contact me and let me know about something. It cannot wait those, like, say 30 minutes or so, or cannot make kind of cautionary thing, let me just check my phone, to the other friend that is telling a story, or give it like a few minutes while they finish up a point for you to check your phone. Ego wants to know immediately, and that does nothing but undermine trust people have in you to be present, timely, and reliable. And as you might guess, do this like 5 times in a conversation, and the only thing you're going to build is not a real conversation, but real resentment from the other person, where they think that you are too like occupied with your phone and your device to not pay attention to the person who's sitting right in front of you. And this builds resentment, and this poisons bonds. Simply the advent of something as simple as that has the ability to torch relationships, because you are so focused on figuring out who texted you, or texting someone who has no absolute relation to this conversation and can wait the better part of 10 minutes to get a response. You weaken, undermine, and disintegrate the relationship that is sitting right in front of you. And this resentment ends up creating a grudge and blocks true connection. So you can see, just simply based on this piece, how the cycle of technology use can have a significant impact on purposeful relationships. And so now let's shift a little bit away from technology, and let's look at the idea of connection itself. So when you are so kind of circled in your own ego, you develop something I call a superiority complex, which causes you to look at everyone else and look at them through the eyes of judgment, where you're trying to compare yourself to other people and prove to yourself that you are better than them, or that I have this quality that's better than they do. And because of that, I am more superior and I am better. And by creating this hierarchical power-based relationship, you undermine the very nature of an equal egalitarian connection that is required for purposeful relationships. So by clinging so much onto this ego that requires you to kind of justify why you're better and you're fine with hanging out with this person because your ego doesn't feel insecure, you judge everyone else, you create distance, and you forge this bond of inauthenticity that is based on you having a higher set of traits or qualities than the other person. And this judgment escalates significantly when you're so focused on being right. Because attachment to being right, not allowing things to happen and being wrong, fuels this conflict. And all that does is harm the very bonds you spend so much time cultivating. And as a result, your friendships that you once had so much stake in, because of your ego, you've disintegrated them, you've weakened them, and you've caused irreparable harm to them. And something that is the most interesting point I stumbled upon this last year was how much a superiority complex hides the exact opposite. The very nature of ego and superiority complexes in one's head, you may think that it's an attempt to make yourself seem superior, but the real question you should ask yourself is, what are you trying to compensate for? The real question should be, by putting so much focus on your attempt at proving yourself as superior than someone else, the real question is, what are you trying to hide? What are you trying to conceal? What are you trying to compensate for that requires you to look at someone with the judging eyes and prove yourself superior more than them? And why do you need to be so right at all times that you may be right on a philosophical, whatever the hell the point is, but you lose the friendship in the long run? That harms your bond. So device usage is fueled primarily by this idea of ego, this necessity to always know what's happening, and fragmenting the very relationship that sits in front of you. And I myself can be reported to be guilty of this very thing that I'm still working on myself. I have, for example, for all my notifications, they're almost all on silent. Very few people have the ability to kind of push through the notification and like see if I'm, and like text me through on my watch. 90% of the time when I get a notification and I'm talking to someone else, that notification does not matter, because what matters is the person right in front of me. And I have taken extreme measures to block apps and remove them from my phone that don't have any value that cannot be gained for 5 minutes. Because technology, algorithms, corporations have all tuned their algorithms to pull us into these apps. And it's our responsibility as humans to know the debilitating effects of these kinds of apps on not only our mental health, but on our relationships. And the instant pace that technology has undermines our patience. When we don't receive a response immediately for something, our interactions are rushed, we feel more lack of forgiveness for people, and we don't have time to actually respond, we simply have to react. And this kind of ranking system you also have about people responding in time or not strains relationships further, because you start to judge them more for not being reliable or being present as well. And then this lack of forgiveness we have traps us in the past where ego is reigning and stunts our overall future growth. And so you can see how in many of these cases that we've discussed in previous episodes, including this one, it's a positive feedback loop that downwardly spirals, where technology's instant pace undermines patience, undermines your ability to wait for a response, makes you prioritize the notifications you're getting on your phone because they're slightly more interesting than the person in front of you, creates this lack of forgiveness, creates a grudge, makes you want to feel superior to that person, and you always end up in this circling feedback loop that never lets up. And so you can see how ego, through the guise of technology, has a significant impact on the way your relationships are developed and built. Think about how things were, say, 20 years ago, when technology was rudimentary at best, where communication was not as globalized as it is right now, and how meeting with people in person was the primary way you would stay in touch with everyone and build your relationships. I'm not saying that this new technology, which globalizes society far more, is not of benefit, because it keeps me in touch with so many of my other friends who are not living in the same area that I am, who are living on the other side of California, who are living on the other side of Chicago. But asking yourself if this is really a priority to look at the notification you just got when you're spending time with someone will really redefine how your relationships are. And so the other part of this goes more into this idea of technology. And I keep touching on technology because not only is it the primary way we stay in touch with other people around us nowadays, but it's also the way that all of our relationships can turn into connections as opposed to true conversations that are purposeful. And so the primary way I see this happening is through this idea of reels. A lot of us seek approval through sending reels to people to let them know we're thinking of them, quote unquote, and then they like the reel after watching it and they send you one after. Nothing of true relevance was actually exchanged in this conversation. And it just purports itself to be, oh, I thought of you, let me send you this, or let me send you this, and you'll send me this. Did you really gain anything out of it other than a little spike of dopamine that someone was thinking of you? Did you really build or develop your relationship beyond just sending a reel to someone? Or is it just a connection? For me, to be able to send these reels or to feel connected to someone, it requires the foundation of knowing and knowledge of the other person themselves. For me to send something to someone means that I'm thinking of them, yes, but it's also that I've already put an effort to kind of build up a solid friendship with this person before I send something to them. Technology makes us think, like Cal Newport says, that us sending a reel to someone is a true connection, conversation, purposeful relationship, when it's really just a connection. And us seeking approval through these likes by posting on Instagram and then liking other people's posts to let them know we're thinking of them, it authenticates these bonds as well. Because we think, our human brain thinks, that getting approval from other people makes us feel better. And other people think that us providing likes and approval kind of substitutes our actual difficult conversations and fun catch-ups that we actually need to do to get to know people. And then this also builds upon itself, because as easily as we can hide behind our devices, digital inauthenticity grows when you combine this with a fear of conflict. Because at that point, we just kind of are passive-aggressive in our inability to respond to people, and we avoid having real conversations that can really strengthen relationships in the long run. Online pressures are very much superficial. One of my favorite episodes of Black Mirror that made me viscerally uncomfortable was Nosedive, which talks about the ability of social media in a system of being ranked by your superficial interactions that suppresses your true honesty and the real reveal of your true self. And by having so much technology-based interactions, these barriers to purposeful relationships increase. Our self-centered brain ignores everyone else and focuses on our own self. Our ego takes control, and we post pictures online for everyone's validation and approval, and we lose track of the real relationships that mean a lot. Social media blinds us to difficult conversations because we think that we have so many people around us that will be there through the likes they provide us on social media. And we hide our true intentions. We hide our true opinions because we're so afraid of the marketplace of ideas condemning us for feeling something that we may or may not feel validation in feeling. And so through this episode, you've kind of seen, dissected, and understood how, while our ego remains the centerpiece of how purposeful relationships can get dissolved or disintegrated, digital life makes this problem so much worse. The judgment, the surface level interactions, all feed upon this ego and the casual acquaintance-based connections that we have. I'm not saying to disintegrate your use of social media, but social media is a tool that should be used as a conduit to better conversations. It should not be the primary way you communicate with people that you may think are your friends. Because what will end up happening is the surface level superficial nature of your relationship will be revealed as soon as other things take up your attention. You have 168 hours in your week. If you want to prioritize those relationships that matter to you, pick up the phone and call them. Set up a text or shoot them a text and ask them if they want to meet in person over coffee and hang out. Because barriers come from our ego. Real relationships demand presence, selflessness, and reliability. And the way we are moving toward as a society is so much more towards superficial interactions that substitute themselves for real relationships and real connection. And it's super important, at least to me, that we work toward building a selfless, presence-based set of relationships in all that we do. Because social media will always be there, and it's only going to get worse from here. And it's important that we cling to and have a few relationships that we know we can rely upon as real friends, not as Instagram real friends. So let's find a few phone-free hours. Let's find a way to think about why we're judging someone so hard. Let's find a way to ask ourselves, why do we feel like we need to feel a sense of superiority over this other person? Let's ask ourselves and reflect on how technology or emotions can affect our relationships. And join me on the next episode as we consider, discuss, and illustrate ways we can overcome some of these problems around digital minimalism as I advocate more for that philosophy, and how we can leverage our relationships and burn up our ego that not only serves as a barrier in terms of our ego, but also use proper channels in order to stay in touch with people, such as an actual phone call as opposed to a reel, and uncovered the real kind of gems that are in our lives, not the many rocks that hide these. Thank you so much for listening to this episode on the idea of digital minimalism and the idea of how many barriers can stand in our way to purposeful relationships, and how we must work as a society to negate some of these through this concept of digital minimalism. And maybe try a step before the next week of maybe limiting our time responding to notifications and making more of an attempt to be present in all that we do, so that we can find a way to build ourselves back up to having purposeful relationships that aren't rooted in technology use and superficial interactions. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to hear more content, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. And drop me a follow on whichever podcast platform you listen to this podcast on. Thank you so much for listening, and see you guys next time.